Well, good morning. It is my joy to welcome you this morning on this beautiful day, on this celebratory day. So thankful to hear the testimony of what God has been doing in the lives of Anna and Jonah and Grace. And this morning, we are going to continue in our series on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we haven't had a chance to meet, my name is Melissa, and I'm one of the pastors here at McKernan. And so thank you to those guests, family, friends that have come to celebrate this morning. Thank you for joining us and being here today. Well, last week, Pastor Nathaniel preached that when we accept Christ, when we repent and are baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told his disciples in John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Did you know that living on this side of the resurrection, we have an advantage, and that is the Holy Spirit? Are you living in full communion with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit? I know I have wrestled with this in years past. What does it mean to have the gift of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, I heard an illustration years ago that kind of made sense for me, because on many occasions, my husband Matt and I, when we've wanted to do something special with our boys, oftentimes we had to take time to save up money, and the one thing we tried to do to keep costs low was to always pack our own meals and snacks. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. Kids eat a lot, and you bring your own meals, your own snacks, save a few dollars. Well, let me share with you an illustration that might help out our point this morning. Imagine with me that you and your family have decided to go on a cruise. Now, you've never been on a cruise, and in fact, your family rarely takes a holiday. It's kind of an extravagant thing. But you've been saving for months and months, choosing to be frugal in other ways just so you can make this vacation happen, because the cost is significant. Now, because you've never been on a cruise before, there's some things that you're not quite sure about. And unfortunately, you've decided not to read the details in your vacation package. So you're assuming that, you know, the cost of the cruise includes your room and the use of the pool, and that you'll get to stop at ports and see different locations. But you assume also that the food is not included, that you have to pay extra in order to dine and eat on this cruise ship. And because you've already paid so much and you're saving money, you decide to pack a cooler full of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the week for your family. Maybe throw in some ramen in there. So now you are on the cruise. Can you see it? You're on the cruise with your family, and it's delightful. It's so much fun. It's everything you anticipated it to be. You're making great memories, and you're also eating your breakfast, your lunch, and your supper back in your hotel room. You're not loving your PB&J sandwiches for every meal, but you're glad you're on the boat. And on the last day, you and your family decide to just go take a look at the menu at the main dining hall. You want to figure out, well, maybe we could afford one meal on this cruise. So you go to the dining hall, you're reviewing the menu for the day, and you can't see any prices. So you ask the hostess, we're just curious, how much does this cost? We're just trying to decide if we can afford this or not. And the hostess looks at you with a really puzzled look. You've already paid for the meals here. It was included in the cost of the cruise. It's all there. It's all for you. Now, you and your family have been eating PB&J for 6 days straight. And at the end, you just discovered that you missed out on a feast of delights. You missed out on an abundance. It was all included. Can you imagine your surprise and disappointment? Friends, some believers discover too late that the Holy Spirit is a gift for you and it is included in your salvation. When we get on the boat with Jesus because he paid the price for us, when we repent and are baptized, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit and the ongoing work of him in our lives. It's all inclusive. We don't have to live off of stale provision while we sail to our destiny of eternity with God. Are you experiencing the life of the Holy Spirit at work in you? Do you know what it means to be empowered by the Spirit? Today, the title of my message is Drink, Be Filled, Repeat. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you that it is your job, your role, to lead us and guide us in all truth and to reveal to us Jesus, that we may live in full communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We ask you would do this today in our hearts. Amen. King David wrote in Psalm 36, verses 8 to 9, "They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." Friends, there is feasting and drinking in the Lord. Are you in? Are you in? Yeah? All right. Well, Jesus picks up on this theme from Psalm 36. And if you are able, would you please stand? And we're going to read together from the gospel. John 7, 37, 39, let's read together. "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. If anyone is thirsty, come to Jesus and drink. If you drink the water that Jesus offers, rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit, will flow in you. If you have received the gift of the salvation of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And according to Scripture, the very words of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit lives in you, then the power of God, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. You've got the most powerful force on the planet inside of you. But you may say, "I don't feel it. I don't know that it's true." Or maybe I felt that once or twice in the past, but it's been a long time. Well, let's consider the words of Jesus in John 7. "Come to me and drink." Tell me, how often do you drink water? What? I hope it's every day. I hope it's every day. Because if it's just once a week or once a month, friends, you would be so horribly dehydrated. And I'd be seriously concerned for you. And friends, some of us are dehydrated in Christ. The river of living water is drying up because we think we just need a sip or two once a week. And that's all we need. And that's not true. Theologian John Stott has this to say about believers. the Christian should be a dipsomaniac, an excessive drinker, always thirsty, always drinking. And drinking is not asking for water, but actually taking it. It is extremely simple. Drinking is one of the first activities which babies learn. Indeed, they do it by instinct. So how do we drink from the living waters of Jesus? Well, there are many passages we could potentially look at, but today we're just going to draw attention to two passages, and the first is in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 to 25. Let me read it for us. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we professed, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. So what does this passage tell us about drinking? Well, when we drink, we draw near to God with sincerity and with faith that he hears us. When you approach God, do you believe he hears you? He does. I hope you believe that. And when we drink to get our hearts and bodies washed up regularly with confession and forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We all need to confess and receive forgiveness, and we all need to be willing to choose to extend forgiveness. It's part of drinking. And when we drink, this passage also tells us that we hold on to hope in God's faithfulness even when life looks hopeless. In the midst of the storms, we hold on to hope in God. Next, we thoughtfully encourage one another towards love and good deeds. We come alongside one another in community and we champion what we see others are doing and how they feel called to serve the Lord. And we encourage one another in that way. And lastly, we keep meeting together for prayer and the study of God's Word. That's how we drink, according to Hebrews chapter 10. And then the next passage I want to look at is Philippians 4, verses 8 to 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So this passage also tells us that when we drink, we need to drink by meditating and focusing on things that are true and pure and right. Let me ask you about the media you consumed this past weekend. So the Holy Spirit lives in us, which means that he also gets to watch what we watch. Was he pleased by what you consumed in the media? Not at all what I think this passage is saying. Because there are wonderful stories to be enjoyed. And there are thought-provoking podcasts and valuable critiques of what's happening in our world. And there is hard news that we need to be aware of and we need to wrestle with. But at the end of the day, is God bigger and more exalted in our hearts and minds after we consume our various kinds of media? Do we find ourselves moving towards righteousness, moving towards creativity and compassion, mercy and justice from what we've viewed and participated and watched in? Or is the opposite true? Do we feel we're more dragged into darkness because of what we consumed. This passage encourages us, whatever is praiseworthy, think on such things. And secondly, the final way I want to encourage us to drink, how we drink from the living waters of Jesus, is to watch other mature believers and imitate their actions as they reflect the life and heart of Jesus. So in this passage, Paul isn't telling the Philippians to be his disciples. We are to be disciples of Jesus. But we can learn how to put our faith into practice by seeing how it's expressed in the lives of others. If you are the most mature Christian in your group of friends, my encouragement to you is to widen your circle. We should all be challenged by one another as we see others working to serve and love the Lord. So this is how we drink. How now does this lead to us being filled? Well, our last passage of scripture this morning is found in Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage, Paul is intentionally contrasting the drinking of wine, being filled with and under the influence of alcohol, with the idea of being filled and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Do not get drunk on wine, Paul says. Well, what happens when a person is drunk? Their perception of reality is altered. They see people and situations differently. Suddenly, a person that, you know, you might not be able to abide in, you know, normal day-to-day work or life situations, but if you're under the influence of alcohol, that person might just seem like the most delightful company. I've heard that suddenly people become more attractive when you're under the influence of alcohol. And people even think that they are stronger or faster or invincible when under the influence of alcohol. My husband, unfortunately, has a lot of stories of fire hall parties and the interesting antics that firemen can get up to when under the influence and how strong they think they are. And it doesn't lead to good endings, let me assure you of that. Good thing they're also dual service, firefighters and paramedics. They can bandage one another. So, of course, the Bible instructs us not to get drunk, for the very reason that it leads to so many compromises, bad decisions, and hurtful consequences. However, while Paul instructs us not to get drunk on wine, he is, by contrast, telling us to get drunk on the Holy Spirit. Does that sound a little offensive? We are supposed to drink up and allow Holy Spirit to influence us, be filled with the Spirit. Why? You see, under the influence of Holy Spirit, we will receive the wisdom we need to address the tension and evil of our days. Our perception will be altered under the impact of Holy Spirit. We'll be able to see hope and the possibilities of God at work when the world around us only sees despair. Under the influence of Holy Spirit, we will understand the will of God. We'll begin to see how God prepares us for future things so that when circumstances suddenly change, we don't feel the bottom falling out from beneath us. We suddenly recognize, oh my goodness, God, I see you've been preparing me for this. You were equipping me back there with this and this. You're leading me somewhere that I wasn't expecting, but I can see how you're preparing me. Under the influence of Holy Spirit, we will be led to apply scripture and songs with regularity in our lives. The word of God will come to life as we begin to apply it to our circumstances. So in verse 20 of this passage in Ephesians, when it says singing and making music in our hearts, I want to also point out it does not say to those who are musically gifted and can carry a tune. Only they should sing. No, this command applies to us all, musically inclined or not, because what we sing is what we believe. Did you know that singing can shape your belief system? I want to end with pastor and theologian John Stott's deconstruction of this passage, and I want to quote it at length because I think it's quite appropriate. So again, with Ephesians 5, first, John Stott says, be filled is not a tentative suggestion or a mild recommendation, a polite piece of advice. It is a command which comes to us from Christ with all the authority of one of his chosen apostles. And second, the command is in plural form. It's written to the whole Christian community. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is emphatically not a privilege reserved for some, but a duty resting upon all. Third, be filled is let the Holy Spirit fill you. An important condition of enjoying his fullness is to yield to him without reserve. Nevertheless, it must not be imagined that we are purely passive agents in receiving the Spirit's fullness. A man gets drunk by drinking. We become filled with the Spirit by drinking too. And fourth, the present imperative in the Greek indicates that this is a continuous appropriation. Christ commands us to be filled with the Spirit. It is for the whole church and not just for some. And we must ask the Holy Spirit to fill us as he sees best to equip us for our day. We must ask him continually to do this. Drink, be filled, repeat. That is the normal Christian life. Now you may say, I've asked Holy Spirit to fill me, but I don't see a difference. I want to share a personal story with you this morning. I enjoy reading biographies and have since I was a teen. And I love hearing testimonies of how people have met Jesus and experienced him in their lives. But for several years, when I was a young person, a great disappointment was filling my heart because I never experienced anything close to the miraculous stories I read about. And I wondered sadly if I was missing out on burning bushes, if I just wasn't good enough or I wasn't praying the right prayers. And I reached a point in my life where I finally decided in my heart, I think I'm finally ready to try out this healing prayer ministry I've been hearing about at church. So I went, and I'm in this appointment with my priest and his wife, and we're working through some of my mess. And at one point, my priest asked me, how are you feeling right now? Is the Holy Spirit saying anything to you? And I replied, I'm not sure, and I sarcastically added, it's not like I'm rolling on the floor in the Spirit or anything. And he looked at me and said, oh, we'll get to that idolatry in a moment. And I was cut to the core when I realized I had made an idol out of my expectations of how I thought the Holy Spirit should work. And when I confessed that idol, that was a key in breaking off my own blindness. You see, I had grown to think that the Holy Spirit could only work in certain acceptable ways according to my expectations. And I had been deeply disappointed in God for not meeting my expectations. When I confessed my idolatry, I relinquished those expectations, and I relinquished my control of how the Holy Spirit could work in my life. And he began to open my eyes to see how he already was at work, but my sin had blocked my ability to see that. Friends, the Holy Spirit loves you. He longs to fill you, to lead you to Jesus, to empower you to lead others to Jesus. That's a main part of his purpose. He wants us to be in communion with Father, with Son, and with him, the Spirit. And this morning, many of you gathered today are already believers in Christ. You have received the Lord and Savior. And my encouragement to you this morning is drink, be filled, and do it again every day. Watch and see how Holy Spirit wants to work in you to feast and to drink in the Lord. Now, I also know that some of us here today are also just exploring faith in Christ. Maybe you're not sure what it means to get on the boat of salvation with Jesus. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6:16. Today is a clear opportunity to make a decision that will change not only your eternal destiny, but it will transform your life from the inside out. The baptisms we have witnessed today reflect the personal decisions of Grace and Anna and Jonah. They stood at the crossroads of life and have chosen to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. The Holy Spirit is alive and at work in them. This morning, we're going to take some time to pray. Maybe you have never realized that the Holy Spirit is a gift that Jesus gave you. And it's time to open up that gift. Or maybe you've been disappointed with failed expectations of how you thought the Holy Spirit should be at work in your life. You, my friend, are invited to drink of the living waters and be filled afresh today. If you are able, would you please stand with me as we close our time in prayer? If you would like to receive a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, I invite you even just to put out your hands in faith to receive from him today. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we confess that we have sometimes quenched your work in our lives without understanding that you desire to empower us to live fully into our salvation in Christ, to partner with Father God to bring his kingdom here on earth. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us afresh today. Teach us how to drink. Teach us how to recognize your work in us and through us. We relinquish our desire to control you and how you work. Breathe on us. Fill us with your life. We want to live under your influence from this day forward for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. I invite you just to stay in this prayerful space as Jeannie and the team just lead a song of prayer and confession.